How many of you smelled the soup as you came in tonight? I didn't see many hands, so I guess we can just go on for quite a while. I thought if you smelled the soup, probably you were anxious to get there, so we'd have to hurry a little bit, but I only saw Norma, so I'll let Norma go when she's ready. Oh, some of the rest of you want to get your hands in the air now too, huh? All right. If you'll turn with me tonight to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Let me check to see that everyone has a handout that would desire to have one. If you don't, please raise your hand and Jim or somebody will get one to you. I see one back there, Lisa here. We have been having some, well, I would say wonderful studies together on these feasts, and particularly the Feast of Passover, which is the foundation feast, the first of all of them. And I would say so much in thanks to the teaching ministry of Ray Vanderlaan. If you were here last Sunday night, it was just absolutely, absolutely outstanding. So deeply, deeply moving. And I would like to do one more little study tonight on the Passover before we leave that for others. And again, I must express I'm indebted to Ray Vanderlaan a great deal. Virtually everything I'm sharing tonight, I've taken from him or I've learned from him in some way or another. And tonight in our reading, I'd like to go to the original Passover, which happened in Exodus chapter 12. If you have your Bibles open, please follow it with me. There's one little detail of this story that probably most of my life I've read over and gone on, and I've only recently found how significant it is. So let's read together Exodus chapter 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year." And let me just stop to say, that's because it's Salvation Month. And that is the starting point for any of us, isn't it? If we're Christians, that's where it all begins. Verse 3, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roasted over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Verse 14, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. The focus I would like to have in our study tonight is just one little detail that does not have to do with the observance of Passover, but rather with the preparation for Passover. Chronologically, I suppose we should have looked at this before last Sunday night's DVDs. But I wanted to put those as close as possible to Easter, and also there is a soup supper tonight afterwards. And this is shorter than those. So it seemed to work better to switch them around in order. I want you to look at verse 6. In the original Passover, and in fact, in all the subsequent Passovers, it happened on what day? Say it loud enough for me to hear. All right, it happened on the 14th day of the first month at twilight. But there is another little detail given here. What was to happen 4 days earlier on the 10th day? Look in verse 3. What was to happen? Yes, pick your lamb. The lamb for Passover was to be selected not on the day of the 14th, not even the day before, but 4 days earlier on the 10th. And that became the pattern in all the succeeding years following that. Passover was always celebrated on the 14th day of the first month, beginning at twilight. But each family selected their lamb on the 10th day. Now go in your mind to the time when the Israelites would have left Egypt, left their wandering, crossed the Jordan, and were now settled in the promised land. Passover is still to be settled, to be observed every year. And basically, the people had two choices for bringing a lamb to Jerusalem for Passover. One, they could bring it from home. Or two, they could come to Jerusalem early and on the 10th day purchase a lamb from those who had been authorized to sell lambs for Passover. So bring it from home or buy your lamb on the 10th day in Jerusalem so that it will be prepared on Passover on the 14th. I want you to put yourself in Israel at that time. You are an Israelite. Which would you have chosen to do? Would you have brought your lamb from home? Or would you have come to Jerusalem early enough to purchase a lamb by the 10th day so that it would be all ready by the 14th? Which would you have chosen? I don't know. I can't tell your answer just by this. Well, think about it. Suppose you lived in the hometown of Jesus, in Nazareth. How far is that from Jerusalem? I don't know, really. Let me just say 50 miles, George, just for a guess. I don't know what it is. Close. Give or take? Yeah. Do you know? Can you tell us?
It's about 30 miles.
30 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem? If you were 30 miles away, would you bring a lamb from home? 20 miles away? 10 miles away? 5 miles away, would you bring a lamb from home? So one obvious thing is it would be difficult to bring your lamb from home, wouldn't it? I mean, how would you do it? But then there was another issue you would have to face. What if you brought your lamb all the way from home and you brought it to the priest and they said, rejection. Well, for those two reasons at least, the second of the two options became much more popular. So on the 10th day, 4 days before Passover, get this picture in your mind. Thousands of families inundated Jerusalem. Specifically for the purpose of selecting a lamb that would represent forgiveness and redemption and deliverance and freedom for them for that year. And that became known then as Lamb Selection Day, the 10th day. So you see, you didn't just rush into Jerusalem at the last moment, grab a lamb somewhere, herd it over to the temple and say, here I am for Passover and here's my lamb or my goat or whatever it happened to be. No. You had to select your lamb 4 days prior to Passover. Now, if you think about that for a moment, that poses an issue. You've traveled from home. You're now in Jerusalem. You're a visitor. You have a lamb on your hands. What are you going to do with your lamb for 4 days as a visitor in Jerusalem while you're waiting for Passover? Well, our text answers that and says all the way back to Exodus 12, verse 6, what did it say they should do from the 10th to the 14th? Take care of it. Select it on the 10th. Not a few hours before, not just before. Select it on the 10th and take care of it for those 4 days. Essentially, that lamb had to become part of your family for those 4 days. According to Ray Vanderlaan, Jewish families took this very seriously. You see, your Passover lamb represented your deliverance. And each member of the family was to make that personal. It wasn't just your father's lamb. It wasn't just your mother's lamb. It wasn't just your grandpa's lamb. It just wasn't just the family's lamb. It was your lamb. Excuse me. It was your deliverance. So according to what one rabbi taught, every single member of the family was supposed to go and spend time with the lamb during those 4 days. Every single member of the family, including all the children, were to truly and personally get to know the lamb for 4 days. So that by the time Passover arrived, every single person in the family was supposed to feel very deeply and very personally, that's the lamb that will be offered for me this year. Even your little children were supposed to feel, that's my lamb. That's my lamb. The idea was that you needed to have a personal connection with this lamb that represented your forgiveness and your redemption and your deliverance and your freedom for that year. You needed to have a personal investment in this thing. Perfect lambs were not cheap. And to offer a perfect lamb in sacrifice was not cheap. In fact, watching your lamb being sacrificed was intended to grab your heart. and graphically display right in front of your eyes the price of your redemption. And not just the financial price, but even the emotional price. I'm told that children would often cry as the Passover lamb was being sacrificed. Why? Because they had spent 4 days with that lamb. And that was by God's design and by God's intention. It had become personal. And they were so emotionally attached to the lamb that they would actually stand and cry as the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Now, I find that picture very powerful. That every single person, whether child or adult, had to identify with his or her source of deliverance. Passover was not just this big generic sacrifice that sort of spilled over to cover everybody automatically. Passover had to be personal. You had to identify with your lamb. And how could you not, since you had been taking care of it 24/7 for 4 days? So this 10th day, and this is the detail I had read over and never thought anything about. The 10th day, Lamb Selection Day, was a very significant day. Now, fast forward to the week of Jesus' crucifixion. Passover that year, the year in which Jesus was crucified, Passover was on what day? And we should know it very quickly. We've said it, talked about it several times in the last few weeks. Friday, but since days started in the evening, it would have started when? It would have started at twilight on Thursday. That wasn't true every year. Passover didn't fall on Thursday every year. But on that year in which Jesus was crucified, it fell beginning by our calendar on Thursday evening. Now, back up 4 days. Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday. The 10th day that year, 4 days earlier, would have been on what day? Sunday. What's the name we give to that day? You heard it from the time you were a child, so did I. What have we always called that day? Palm Sunday. And the other term we have from Scripture is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And that's all true. But now, based on what we're hearing from Exodus and Leviticus, it was not just Palm Sunday or the triumphal entry. That day was also what day? Lamb Selection Day. Think of this. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Lamb Selection Day. The day when there were thousands of Israelites in the city, and every one of them had one thing on their heart. I'm in Jerusalem today looking for a lamb for Passover. I need a lamb for Passover. I've got to find my lamb today. If you can imagine that scene in your mind, I mean, the city would have been crowded. There would have been tumult and noise everywhere. Thousands of people in the city looking for the lamb for Passover. And into the tumult of all those thousands of people looking for their Passover lamb, what happens? Here comes Jesus. Riding into Jerusalem on a donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy in Zechariah. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And what was Jesus saying by that very dramatic action? Here I am. I am the king you've been longing for, the king that's been prophesied. But today is what? Lamb selection day. So what kind of king am I? I'll be your king by first becoming your lamb. Jesus was in essence saying, you've come to Jerusalem to pick your lamb. Pick me. Pick me. I'm the lamb who really takes away the sin of the world. Pick me. Did they? No. They totally missed it. They totally missed it. In fact, we know from the gospel records, they immediately began to chant, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. And the Pharisees made a very interesting response that was different than almost any other response they made in the Gospels. The response of the Pharisees normally to Jesus was to attack him, to accuse him, to try to deceive him if they could. But in this case, their response was, Teacher, shut these people up. There's no other response like that from the Pharisees in the Gospels. Teacher, shut these people up. Now, it makes sense when you understand that according to Ray Vanderlaan, Hosanna by this time had become like a military chant. Now, most of us on Palm Sunday think of it as like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Ray Vanderlaan says, at that time, Hosanna was a term that was used as a military chant. It was like saying, drive out the Romans, drive out the Romans. And so the Pharisees said, be quiet. There are Roman legions right out there. They're going to be right down on us, and our heads are going to be on the block. Be quiet. And you remember Jesus' response to that. But not only were the crowds chanting Hosanna, but they were doing one other thing. They were waving palm branches. Now, if you've ever seen pictures of a revolution, there's always some kind of a standard, a flag, something that rallies the troops. Again, according to Ray Vanderlaan, palm branches by this time had become the fighting symbol of the zealots. So it was like, kill the Romans, get rid of them, wave a palm branch. And here is Jesus. We've watched him in action. We know he has the power to do it. Come on, let's go. He can beat those Romans and drive them out. Hosanna, Hosanna, wave the palm branch. Now, that's such a different picture than we've always had in our minds, isn't it? But I think Ray Vanderlaan is right, and I'll tell you why. The moment people began to chant Hosanna and wave the palm branches, what did Jesus do? He stopped and looked down over the city and began to cry. You probably know there are only two times when it's mentioned in the Gospels that Jesus wept in any way. The one was at Lazarus' tomb, and that weeping was just simply the very silent where you see a tear trickle down the cheek. But this weeping over the city was sobbing. It was the gut-wrenching where you are so deeply troubled and overwhelmed with grief that you actually sob. And what did he say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. if you only knew what would bring you peace. Now put the picture in context. Lamb selection day. He's presenting himself. I'm the king, but I'll be your king by first being your lamb. And their response is, Hosanna, Hosanna, kill the Romans, drive them out, wave the palm branches and all of that. And Jesus stops and weeps. He says, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known what would bring you peace. You're crying, Hosanna, you're waving the palm branches, and you know what it's going to get you? Bloodshed. And it was true. Not many years hence, the entire place was completely obliterated. There was no more Jerusalem, period. Seems to me Jesus is saying, if you would only pick me as your lamb, you would truly know peace. But they missed it. It was Lamb Selection Day. They would have known that from ancient history, all the way back from Exodus chapter 12. It was Lamb Selection Day, and at the very beginning of his ministry, how was Jesus introduced? By John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And here on that very day, Lamb Selection Day, he rides into Jerusalem, yes, the king, but the king who comes as the Lamb of God. And says, I'm the Lamb. Will you have me? And they missed it. Most people still miss it today, don't they? Jesus wants to be our lamb, our true Passover lamb. And so he rides into our cities, and he rides into our families, and he rides into our lives, and he says, pick me. Pick me. I want to bring you peace. And I have power to do that as the true king, but I'll do it by first becoming your lamb, being offered up for your forgiveness. And your deliverance, and your freedom, and your redemption. I am the redeeming lamb for all the world. Will you pick me? And if we don't, what does Jesus do? He weeps. That's a fairly dramatic way to close our study tonight, but I think I'm going to stop right there. Powerful truth. And I leave that with you and conclude our Passover studies with that. What a picture. Lamb Selection Day. Here he was. Pick me. And as people today, you know, will chant this and that, wave something for this and that, and Jesus says, oh, if you only knew what would make for your peace. And he weeps. I leave that with you. Consider it in your hearts. I said it would be short tonight, and it is. And that's good. That's good. We'll have prayer, and then you'll be free to go, and I don't know if they'll have prayer in there, so maybe we'll just go ahead and have prayer here. Shall we do that to conclude the study? And if you want to join us there, please do so. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a very moving truth to our hearts, a very powerful picture of Jesus, your Son. Such a wonderful thing to say, Jesus, be my lamb. Be my Passover lamb, my deliverance, my freedom, my forgiveness, my redemption. Such a powerful thing. But we also weep for those who are looking somewhere else or who say no, who are missed the message somehow, we weep with you, Jesus, for them. And so I pray that we will be true bearers of the message that Jesus is our Passover lamb, and that we will rejoice in you, we will worship you, we will cherish you more and more and more as we understand the depths of what you have done for our redemption. Bless this truth to your people tonight and cause it to grip us. And may we be like those Jewish families. We get to know our Lamb so deeply and so personally because he is our deliverance. Now bless your people as they join together now in fellowship around the table. May the food have your grace and blessing upon it, and may the fellowship be sweet because we are part of your family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for in your name we pray. Amen.